And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Welcome to J-Guys and Jedis, a bi-weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. There will be stranded clones, snippy Padawans, and Anakin doing whatever the hell he wants. Hi, Chris!
Hey, that's what Anakin does, whatever the hell he wants.
He do what he wants! So this is the always amazing Chris Honeywell.
Hello! Still always amazing from the last episode. I've been amazing all the way through.
You're always amazing.
I'm amazing all over the place right now as we speak.
Please keep it in your pants.
My room is covered with amazement.
What's that line from Guardians of the Galaxy? If I had a black light, it would look like a Jackson Pollock painting in here.
I don't know if black lights shut. I don't know what kind of light you need to light up amazing, but probably the light that comes out of my beautiful eyes.
Yeah. But enough about me. I guess I run this crazy boat. I guess. I don't know.
You're the brainchild of this whole thing. You're the one who started all this.
Does that make me the boss?
Sure.
I don't know. You do more work than I do for it, so we're co-bosses.
It seems like you want to be the boss, but being the boss is, yeah.
We'll be co-bosses.
I like being called boss. I just don't like doing boss things.
I don't need to know about your private life. Hey, boss. Anyway, today we're going to talk.
I actually hate it when people call me boss, but that's a whole other story for another time.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about rising malevolence. I can't say that word. Today we're going to be talking about Rising Malevolence. It was the second episode of the Clone Wars series. It aired on October 3rd, 2008, following the premiere of Ambush. It was written by Stephen Melching. I'm so sorry if that's not how you say your name. And directed by the always fantastic Dave Filoni, my hero. Hero!
And...
Hero, baby.
It's prefaced by, once again, an awesome Yoda quote.
Woo!
Belief is not a matter of choice. But of conviction in bed.
It sounded like in bed.
Like I was getting choked out. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I've never claimed to do a good Yoda impression. As a matter of fact, it's always been called the shitty Yoda.
Actually, it's probably better than my Yoda impression.
No, actually, there you go. That's already better. If you just...
Belief is not a matter of choice, but of conviction and bread.
Hey, I like yours. It's got a mocking sort of edge to it that I like it.
Thank you, boss. <It's> kind of... I should do the entire episode like this. I should.
Oh, jeez.
I'd be so hoarse for work tomorrow.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, talking like that is funny. But after a while, you start coughing and hacking, and it starts hurting.
Nod to the voice actors who do that all the time.
I know. I wonder about that.
This is already our first tangent of the episode. The voice actor, whose name just completely, I don't know his name, but he was the voice actor of one of the characters in Dragon Ball Z. And he was saying, like, doing an episode of that was almost like a workout. And, like, he would record several episodes. You know, you'd only have so many lines in a 30-minute episode. So he would record several episodes in one day. And he was like, and then he couldn't do anything for, like, 2 days. Because in Dragon Ball Z, you know, they power up and they, for, like, 30 minutes, they just go,
yeah.
while powering up, and he's like, it would make him ill. Like, he would have to take days off afterwards filming for Dragon Ball Z because his voice would just be gone.
Yep, yep. Can't I just do like 3 screams that you can use over and over again?
I don't know, but I do have a Dragon Ball Z joke. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
I have not. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell this joke anyway because, and you don't have to get it because you haven't seen it.
Okay, thanks. So,
Chris, how many Dragon Ball Z characters does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know, Hope. How many Dragon Ball Z?
One, but it takes 9 episodes to do it. Oh. Yay! You don't understand.
I don't get it.
That's okay.
Things move slowly on Dragon Ball Z. I take it.
Yeah, they'll have like one fight last 10 episodes. And 3 of the episodes will be just the characters going,
I am preparing to fight you. Good, prepare to fight.
And a week later, they finally fight. That's the thing. But you know it's not slow? Clone Wars.
Not at all. Can't be slow at 30 minutes.
24 if you cut out commercials.
True, true.
True that. Because we need commercials for Amazing World of Gumball.
You know, I think I did actually, I think when I first started watching this, I actually did have cable and probably did tune into Clone Wars on Cartoon Network.
Oh, it's so much better on Netflix.
And it's so much better watching it as episodes without commercials. It always is.
So I will say I did see on Netflix the other night that Clone Wars is trending right now on Netflix as of January 4th. Which is awesome. I wonder if it's getting a lot of hits because of the movie.
I think because of the movie and also because of Rebels. And
yeah.
Dave, and you know, the people, you know, when they get into something, they start looking at the names of the people who made it, and then they see Dave Filoni, and that's going to lead them right to Clone Wars.
And I follow this account on Twitter. It's a Cad Bane account, so woo-woo, Cad Bane. I'll tag you whenever, if I remember to. But this person reblogs a lot, and the other day I was just reblogging nothing but people going, hey, I just discovered Clone Wars. I'm watching Clone Wars for the first time. This is a really cool show, Clone Wars. I'm like, yay, people are finding it.
Yeah, I think Clone Wars is going to become the acceptable, like we've been saying the last 2 episodes, I like this better than the prequels. I like the show
like
better than the prequels.
Came out of the prequels was Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan and Clone Wars.
And I like the Emperor was also a nice juicy bit of it. But Clone Wars, like, yeah, consistently, it's fully Star Wars, like, beginning to end. And I think there's going to be a lot of renewed interest in it. When the season comes along, and I'm not that I would not do this anyway, but I'm going to be extra on the lookout for Clone Wars toys and.
There's a Grunkle Rex toy coming, and I want it.
Oh, jeez.
I want it so bad. I already have my Phase 2 Armor Rex toy from the Black Series, and I have 2 Lego Rexes. Yep. One's his Phase 1 armor, one's his Phase 2 armor. I may or may not have dropped $40 on those, and now I'm ready for my Grunkle Rex. I love them.
But I have a feeling Clone Wars era stuff is going to become sought after because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to really get, and plus when you have something like this on Netflix, you know, people just go to Netflix and go, let me give this a try. And this is the kind of show where if you give it a try, you could be a whole season into it before you hit stop, you know? So yeah, I think there's going to be, and plus we're talking about it. So that should drum up a lot of interest.
Chris,
the world of fandoms hanging on our every word.
I mean, look at the Harry Potter fandom. They're still finding things like years after the books and the movies ended.
Oh, sure.
I just saw a post on Tumblr about how the Minister of Magic said that the previous Prime Minister had tried to throw him out a window. Well, Harry Potter set in the 90s, and the previous Prime Minister at the time that quote was said in the books was Margaret Thatcher, meaning Margaret Thatcher tried to throw him out a window. Yay, Maggie!
Yeah, people are only just going to start discovering stuff from Clone Wars.
And I mean, look at Star Wars. It's been around since the 70s, and we're still here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The original trilogy is still being mined, and people are just really starting to pay attention to Clone Wars. I'm hoping eventually enough interest will be drummed up that Disney will be like, yeah, let's finish off the Clone Wars seasons, you know? Why not? You know, it's not like the actors are going to get too old or anything like that, you know?
I want to see the Siege of Mandalore.
Yeah, why not?
Siege of Mandalore.
Why not? There's got to be hard drives with all the information for all the characters, wireframes and all the stuff they need, and they got all the same people working on it. They could easily do it. I'm hoping there's enough interest that someday they'll finish that. It'll be worth it to them to finish it off.
At the very least, what I want is, because you know how they have the Marvel Star Wars comics now?
Sure.
And between Vader and Star Wars, the main series, they have all the little miniseries. And I'm so sad. I saw the other day that Kanan's ending at 12 issues, which sucks because Kanan's my favorite.
Kanan's my favorite, too.
That's my favorite of all the Star Wars comics. But they had the miniseries. I want a miniseries of Rex and Ahsoka post Order 66.
That would be awesome. There's so much potential for stories in there now that they've established that as canon. Yeah.
I really want it, like, not even to be a five. I would love to see it be like a 7-issue miniseries or something, or maybe like one just Rex and another one just Ahsoka and have them tie in like together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of Star Wars comics. I've spent a lot of money on Star Wars comics recently. I've been buying all the Marvel Star Wars comics. They haven't lost my interest yet. None of them have. Chewbacca
and Lando were rough for me.
I liked, which one in Lando?
Chewbacca.
Oh, I liked. Well, I still haven't read the last issue of Chewbacca. Hasn't come out, but I like the art in Chewbacca.
Yes, and it's the same artist that did the Black Widow comics.
And the story's nice on Chewbacca, but it's very slight. But it's nice. It's a light, nice, funny Chewbacca story.
And that's how I felt about Lando too. Like it's fun, but it doesn't really do anything to like move the.
No, but that's what I want from a Lando story. I want him to get into trouble by sort of bungling his way into trouble, but at the same time he's smooth. And then he gets himself out of trouble and sort of comes out ahead, but then lands into another dilemma. And that's sort of what they just had, a sort of escalating series of those. And that sort of embodies the Lando character. Plus, they sort of had a chance to add some Sith lore into it.
Yeah, like I had two issues with the Lando comic. One is a canon issue, and the other issue for me was just a personal one. The one thing is like, here's Lando with tons of Sith artifacts on the Emperor's ship, and he doesn't stop for a second to go, why does the Emperor have all this stuff? Like, you know, like, why not, like, be like, hey, by the way, someone in the Republic, the Emperor has a ship full of Sith stuff.
Care? He's just like, that guy's a politician. They got all sorts of kinky, weird things in their closet. He knows that, you know?
Yeah, but like, I was waiting for like at least something like to be like, you know, here's a story about the foundation of Palpatine's fall. Like, you know, but it wasn't. It was just like, oh, here's Lando. And my other issue was in the very first, it was either the first or second issue, like the two like little panther twins.
Yeah.
And they said that they were clones. I was like, oh, clones! I was super excited. So I was like, did Jesse and Kick survive?
Not those kinds of clones. Is it clones?
Are these clones? I know, they were just panther dudes.
Clones as in, like, identical twin panther dudes, basically.
I was so upset.
Well, I think they did this story. I think they had the Sith artifacts to sort of, I think that was a little lead-in, a little hint on, like, maybe that was towards the Kylo Ren collecting lightsabers and Darth Vader's helmet. So, you know, it was just sort of giving you a little lore that, like, yeah, maybe when you start collecting Sith artifacts, you start getting some bad mojo. But I mean, there haven't been any that I haven't flat out not liked yet, you know?
Yeah, same here. Like, even then, like, saying that Lando was my least favorite, I still liked it.
It was still good, yeah. And there's just a lot of them coming out. They had the you know, lead up to The Force Awakens.
Oh, that was so good. There's only one part of that I was trying to figure out.
Way behind on. I'm probably just gonna sit down and read Star Wars and Darth Vader right fresh from the beginning.
Ooh, the Vader down.
I have Vader down now. If that's just a one shot, right? And then they're doing that thing where you read the rest of the story in other...
Well, there's the Vader Down one shot, which sets it down. And then part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 goes back and forth between Star Wars and Vader. Star Wars and okay. Vader, Star Wars Vader.
So I'll have all those. I'm buying all those anyway, so that's good. So I love the Vader Down. It was a great, great startup for a story. It was a nice little idea. And I was sort of relieved to be like, okay, it's not another series. After buy, I can't afford this.
Yeah, if I didn't work in a comic book store, I would not be reading that all of them.
I'm in a rare. It's a rare thing though, where I'm cheap and I don't like and I'm broke and I can't afford to spend the money. But at the same time, I'm very excited that I'm actually in the dilemma of like, there's too many comics for me to buy now, or it's pushing the limits of it. It's been a long time. It's been since the 80s for me, where I've had to like sometimes think about my comic dollar. Usually when I'm in a comic shop, I'm looking for something to buy that I want to buy.
I would say
for a long
two series
time
that you need to buy is Saga and Monstrous. Both are fantastic.
I'm still doing The Walking Dead, and I'm still doing Fight Club. Fight Club ends at like 10 or 12, I can't remember. So I'll be done with that fairly soon.
You should see my pull list. Granted, half of my pull list are just titles to get in for my store, so I don't actually read them. Like, Deadpool's a huge hit, and I don't really read Deadpool, unless he's in team-ups or anything. But I have Deadpool on my list just so we have an extra copy to sell. So I do that a lot. But, like, I'm reading a lot of the new Marvel titles. I'm reading some of the DC titles. I have a ton of independents online, because Boom and Image are knocking it out of the park. Right now, Boom Studios is whipping out a lot of great stuff, and I'm super excited to see where they're going with a lot of these. But I mean, I put it on my Instagram, like, because of the holidays, I fell behind, and I'm like, I have about 40 issues I'm behind on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like $160 right there.
Yeah, I get it. Now, working at a comic book store, I can, like, check out some of the comics, and I just bring them back after I read them. But the ones I actually want for my actual collection is about 20 issues behind. I have, like, a little pile of comics that I'm slowly working through buying out of my pull box. It didn't help that I have adorable nieces and nephews that I'm Cool Aunt Hope, and I buy them all the comics. So all my, like, December comics went to them. So now I'm like, okay, time to buy December. Let's go.
Someday when we get famous, we've got to start a charity like that, you know, where they were like, support a kid in you know, a third world country. We should have a support comicless kids. You know, for $3.99 a month, you can provide a comic to.
It's been statistically proven, guys, that kids who read comics have better reading skills, because unlike a book where it's like rows and rows and rows of text, which is very daunting. I mean, it's a little bit of text at a time, and you have the pictures for context clues, and it's been shown that kids who read comics can actually learn to read better than kids who don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, go read, buy comics. Hey, by the way, the Powerball is $140 million. Let's all buy a ticket.
Comics, when I was a kid, made me want to read books more. Once I got the fever for reading, it didn't matter what I was reading, so...
My niece Ava is learning how to read, and I got her Tiny Titans for Christmas, and it has really big text. And I got a message from my sister, and she's like, she is eating this comic up. She's actually reading it on her own. So, buy your kids comics, and let's talk about Clone Wars.
Yes, now we're starting our first two-part arc.
Three parts.
Oh, that's right. This one is three parts. That's the thing is, I didn't watch the next one, but. The thing about it is they're not cliffhangers.
Yeah, unlike when we get to, like, season 4 where they're all cliffhangers and you have to watch the complete arc, this is, like...
Yeah, this is just sort of, like, the arc because it has the ship in it, all three. But, yeah, that's right. It goes on three. And they do that a lot. There's a lot of stuff that goes in threes in this show. I like it.
So, Act 1?
Act 1.
All right. In a series of surprise attacks, the Republic fleet has been decimated from a Separatist secret weapon, leaving no survivors. Since there is no information on this weapon, the Jedi Council sends Plo Koon to hunt it down. Finding a ship in space, being led by General Grievous and Count Dooku, Plo Koon sends a message of their location to Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano before their transmission is jammed. Dooku gives the command to open fire to an energy blast that renders the Republic ship's defenseless. As the ships fall one by one, Plo Koon tells his men to run for the escape pods before their ship explodes. Dooku sends out his hunter droids to pick off any survivors. Anakin and Ahsoka meet via hologram with Chancellor Palpatine, Mace Windu, Yoda, and Obi-Wan. It looks like Plo Koon's fleet was destroyed. Ahsoka speaks out wanting to find Master Plo, but is chastised by the group. Anakin believes Master Plo is still out there. Anakin decides to split up his fleet to maximize their defenses. So I only have notes about Plo Koon right here.
I don't like his voice.
You don't?
I mean, the voice actor, I think it's the same guy who does the narrator at the beginning and does the general on the one ship with the mustache. But it's just a very, it's a very generic sort of deep voice to me. It didn't do a lot for me. And plus the animation where his mouthpiece was just sort of wobbling.
That was Obi-Wan's voice actor too.
Is it the same guy?
James Arnold Taylor.
Really? I don't like how, I was not a big fan of how he did Plo Koon. I thought it was kind of a little bit, generic-y.
Well, originally, Plo Koon was supposed to speak only in his native language, which was based on a mix of Gaelic and Japanese, but since he spoke so prominently in the episode, they scratched that since you wouldn't be able to understand him for the entire episode. But, sorry, that was my note for this section.
My first thought on this is, man, this has a wonderful color palette right off the, it's so, the space scenes of everything are just so vibrant and it's still realistic Star Wars looking, but it's got a little glitzy paperback to it. And I just love that look. And I like Plo Koon too as a character. I was really excited to see him because he was another one. You just got to see him just sort of hanging around in the movies.
And he's Dave Filoni's favorite Jedi. Hmm.
So, which is good because you know he's going to get used now. And this one, man, they're not afraid to start out with some massive clone death. Clones are, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see them die, but those ships get... I mean, those ships had to have been filled with people.
Yeah.
And they're just... They're... When the ones that get picked off, it's pretty sadistic.
I definitely had a note about that in Act 2.
Yes.
I have a problem with Mace Windu throughout the entire series, which is he's just very boring.
Yeah.
You know, like, even in the Mace Windu episodes, he's just so... I just want him to try and tell a joke.
Yeah, his character's not a joker, that's for sure.
Because at least, like, with Plo Koon is serious. I mean, like, he's based off a freaking samurai. Like, that's what he's based off of from, like, the Kurosawa films. Like, that's what he's based off. So it makes sense for Plo Koon to be so serious. But I don't know, like, and I'm just like, oh, it's probably just, you know, his alien race. They probably just don't tell jokes and stuff. But and maybe we're just spoiled by, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, and they're so snippy and, like, witty and just like, boop-a-doo. And we just saw, like, Yoda laugh a lot. But I just, like, want Windu to tell a joke.
I think Windu, even in the movies, he was supposed to be kind of a jerk. And either that or he was, like, the one who was really, like, on to Anakin not being the best idea and was not happy about it.
Have you read the new Obi-Wan and Anakin comic that came out?
No.
Okay, well, probably you might not have read it yet because Marvel was dumb, and its release date is this Wednesday, but they accidentally sent it out a week early, so a lot of comic stores accidentally sold it early, so they had to change the release date to be a few days ago because, like, it was a mass mistake on Marvel's part. Anyway, in the comic, you see Anakin training as a teenager, and Obi-Wan and Windu and the Chancellor all watching him train. And the whole time, Mace is just like, he's not the chosen one. He's just reckless. And Palpatine's like, yes, yes, the dark side, yes. And Windu's like, what? What were you talking about? Nothing. Anakin's wonderful.
Did I say that out loud?
I know, but, like, Windu, like, in the comic of Anakin and Obi-Wan is just like, this Skywalker kid, let's not give him special treatment. Obi-Wan, you shouldn't be doing this. Brr, brr, brr.
I think we like Samuel L. Jackson as an actor so much, and his characters in other movies that you...
Nick Fury is, like, serious, but he's funny serious.
Yeah.
People can make a stupid-ass decision, and he can choose to ignore it.
People want to, you know, they see Samuel L. Jackson, and they project that onto him, but I don't think he was supposed to be... I think he was supposed to be the wet blanket of all the Jedis, you know, especially when it came to Anakin. He was the one that was just like, you know.
Mace Windu blanket soaked and someone just like drapes it on Obi-Wan.
That's a Scott Gardner. That's how I picked that up from Scott Gardner when he was a kid.
Someone please draw like a wet Mace Windu just laying on top of Obi-Wan as a wet blanket just blew.
Just Anakin with a wet blanket over him, his hair just sort of matted down, just like,
and yeah, like Mace Windu doesn't like me.
I was going to do my song at the Jedi Christmas party and Mace Windu just ruined it. I hate him.
God, guys.
Jerk.
Don't you want to hear my feelings? No. Fine, Windu, fine. But yeah, I'll probably say it again when we get to more Mace Windu episodes, but he's always just a drag to me, and he's supposed to be such a bad... I think the only time I can recall him being a badass is in season 6, and I'm just like, oh, there you are. But even then, he's paired up with Jar Jar Binks, and so Jar Jar is just like, Mace fucking everything up, and Windu's just like, shut the fuck down! Stay still! Stop laughing! Stop getting laid! What is my life?
Oh, I got that to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, Jar Jar gets laid in season 6. Remember, listeners, Chris hasn't seen, what, season 5 and 6?
You're really selling it hard.
No, I'm saying, like, you haven't seen 5 and 6,
no,
right?
No.
So do not spoil season 5 and 6 for Chris. I want him to be surprised.
Like Hope just did.
Well, I didn't say what happened.
That's true.
And I told you that when we recorded the movie, silly face.
That's true.
I did. So, but yeah, I didn't, outside of that, like, most of my notes came in Act 2.
So, that's pretty much all, most of my stuff is in Act 2, too, so.
Yeah, that's the real meat of the episode.
I say we get to the meat. The meat and bones of it. As a reference to the last episode.
Where we talked about meat. Oh, yeah.
I'm going grocery shopping after we're recording, so I'm thinking about what I'm gonna buy, so.
Meat.
Definitely.
Should I leave you alone with your meat section?
I'll be okay.
What grocery store is open this late?
We got 24-hour ones here.
Oh, girl.
Wegmans.
I don't know what that is.
You will someday. It's the Disney of grocery stores.
See, we have Kroger's and Publix.
Yeah. I've been to those. Some of them are actually copying the layout of Wegmans and some of the things we've got. They just redid a Wegmans here. It's like Disneyland. It has animatronic chickens in it and stuff.
Oh God.
Yeah. The animatronic chicken comes out. It doesn't anymore. Somebody shut the goddamn thing off. The first year the thing was open, I loved it because
I'm just having like Five Nights at Freddy's flashbacks.
I grew up on a real farm and they really sampled it sounded like a real chicken was loose in the store, but it would come out of its little door sort of, you know, like a German clock every once in a while. And it would roar and go back in. I would be checking out and
so it's not like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of chicken.
Yeah. But the poor cashiers probably had to listen to that all day. And after a while you just didn't hear the chicken anymore. It's gone.
Oh God. See, there's a video game called Five Nights at Freddy's, and while I've never played it, I've watched several Let's Plays of it. Especially Markiplier's I've watched, and you might actually really enjoy this, Chris. I might send you like a link to some of the Let's Plays. But you're a night watchman and a pretty much like a broken down Chuck E. Cheese, and the animatronics are possessed and they come alive at night. And the whole story is that you have to guard yourself in your office because they'll come and try to cram you into a suit so you'll be like them, but the suit still has the animatronics, so it'll kill you. And the whole point of the game is, like, you know, in a horror game, you either fight or you run and hide, right?
That's about all you got.
Well, in Five Nights at Freddy's, you're stuck in your office, and the only things you can do is you can close the doors. That's it. And flip through the cameras. You flip through the cameras, and they don't move while you're watching them, but they're coming from different areas, so you have to keep flipping through the cameras to stop them. And all you can do is close the doors. But every time you do that or use the cameras, you lose your power. And if your power runs out at night, you're done. Like, everything opens, and they just come. So you have to, like, manage your power carefully, and that's the game. And I already have a fear of, like, dolls and robots and animatronics anyway. So, like, it was terrifying.
So why not just make it worse?
Yeah, so I was just like, well, I'm never going to a Chuck E. Cheese again. There's a reason they sell beer there. So, yes. All right, act two. Actually, when you were talking about your Disneyland things, I thought of another story. Do you know what Walmart is?
Oh, yeah, we got Walmarts here.
Okay, so when I was in college, we had a guest director come from New York. And I guess New York is so big, they don't have a place to put like a Walmart Supercenter.
Right, yeah.
So we took him to a Walmart, and he was just like, what is this place? It's like Disneyland. It's so big. You can buy furniture and food here. He just had a ball. Like, he would come to rehearsal and be like, I went to Walmart again.
Yeah, that's New York. That's uniquely in New York State. Is New York City is without Walmarts. Otherwise, they're almost everywhere. I think we've got two or three here in town.
Yeah,
and
we
have. And in the suburbs.
I could probably drive to one within about 10 minutes. So, anyway, act two. Stuck in space with Sinker Boost and Commander Wolf, Master Plo believes if they can all work together, they will stay alive long enough for someone to find them. Sinker and Boost doesn't think anyone from the Republic will look for them since the weapon takes priority. Plo says he values their lives over finding any weapon. They see another pod floating nearby. Plo uses the Force to spin it around. The window is busted open with all the troopers dead. Plo realizes they are not alone in the wreckage. The clones connect the power again and hear a distress signal from a fellow pod. The hunters have found that pod and bust open the window, killing the men. Obi-Wan calls Anakin's ship, but discovers Anakin has redeployed himself away from the mission. It turns out that Anakin has left on his own to look for Plo Koon and his men. Anakin teaches Ahsoka how to follow orders of the Jedi Council, but it can be done in a different way, even if it means bending the rules. Arriving at the wreckage, Anakin asks why Master Plo is so important to Ahsoka. She tells him that he found her and brought her to the Jedi Temple. But as Obi-Wan calls them back to the fleet, R2-D2 picks up something in the sensors. Aha! Okay, so I actually featured this episode in my Season 1 recap for What the Fangirl. And one of the big reasons I featured this episode was it was really shocking to me. Watching the clones get cut out of their ship and injected into space as they're like screaming for their lives,
with the one droid going, there they go, like all tickingly. It was morbid.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember thinking, like, watching this for the first time, like, this is a kid show. Like, how can they do this? And it was just the beginning of Clone Wars, like, not pulling any punches at all.
But at the same time, being like kind of having the like weird, funny droid line, it was just it was dark. But then it's gone. It's just sort of there and gone. Very Star Warsy.
Yeah. And so, like, that was the reason why I featured this episode. Because, like, that scene, when I think about this episode, that's the scene I remember is like the clone just like, oh my God, they're cutting us out! Ah! And just got pew, they're gone. And they're just screaming.
And the second episode in a row where a Jedi has, you know, mentioned the importance of clone life, too, though.
And I had that, too. And we actually get to see, like, you know, like, Thyre, Reese, and Jet, like, had, like kind of different looks. This is the first time we see, like, drastically different. Like, Sinker has gray hair. Boost has the double mohawk and the facial scars. And Wolf is still very clean cut this early on. And he doesn't have a cybernetic eye yet. So, I mean, I love that, like, this early on, we're seeing how drastically different they all look.
I like Plo Koon's "We are not alone" line.
Oh, that's so chilling.
Well, you know what? That was the tagline for when Close Encounters of the Third Kind came out. So I'm thinking this might be a little tribute to Close Encounters. Because at first I was like, why is that line? And then I'm like, that was the tagline for Alien. And then I'm like, no, I instantly saw the poster of the highway with just the light at the end of it and said, "We are not alone."
Yeah. But, like, this is just really, really a heart-pounding scene. I have to say, though, this is not my favorite version of Wolf. Because in season 4, he's in an episode called Mercy Mission. And my favorite part of that episode is him just being a big old sassy boo. And he's, if you watch him in the background of that episode, he, like, rolls his eyes something like 12 times. Like, he's just constantly just like, ugh. Why am I here? Why is C-3PO here? Why is he talking? I just want to do the mission. Can we go home? And so, like, I really, 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 really love Commander Wolf much later in the season. And right now, he's still just kind of clean-cut and following the rules. But, Wolf, you'll get there. You're not there yet, buddy. But you will, and I love you. And when you get your cybernetic eye, it's really cool. Wolf, I remember reading somewhere, I think Wolf is also Dave Filoni's favorite clone, but I don't quote me on that. I feel like I read that a long time ago.
Yeah, I love the idea that there's character development in this, which usually is the antithesis of cartoons. Usually they try not to have any character development.
Well, if they're bad cartoons, you have good ones like Gravity Falls and Steven Universe.
Well, no, I'm showing my age because that's cartoons nowadays will do that. You know, it's a modern thing. Back in my day, a cartoon, you know, always ended with everybody in the same place they were at the beginning of the episode.
I thought you were about to say cartoons would walk uphill both ways in the snow.
They would. They would actually, if they kept walking, they would just walk past the same set over and over and over and over again, the same background. Saved a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, just I like Wolf later on. I do have to say, I really like the scene where Anakin teaches Ahsoka how to bend the rules. I think that's very telling of him.
Yes. And it would be the kind of thing that Anakin would be teaching his... That's the thing about having a Padawan, though, is you start learning some little things about Anakin, you know, and you get to see Anakin getting a little different perspective. And, I mean, you can see why the Jedi would give him a Padawan. He needs he needs to get Obi-Wan's point of view a little bit. But he never quite, you know, he's got an ego on him, so... He does sometimes, you can see him thinking, oh, geez, this is how Obi-Wan feels. But he's not going to give her necessarily the same lesson that Obi-Wan would give him.
And we see it later in this episode, and we see it a lot more in the next episode, that he learns a lot from Ahsoka as well. Like, there are several points. Like, Ahsoka's the one that says Plo. Like, she's the one that senses him. Is like, it's this way. And then in the next episode, when we get there, we'll see her being like, Anakin, you know, like, you can fly through the malevolence, but your men are dying. We need a new plan. So, like, she really grounds him a lot, too.
Yeah.
Uncle Annie.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of Uncle Annie, I saw a fan fiction, a fan art picture of Chewie holding baby Kylo Ren, and I nearly died. Because Chewie's part of the family, so he's like, Uncle Chewie.
It could have very well happened.
Oh, can you imagine, like, Kylo, like, baby Ben, like, braiding his hair?
Oh, just being, like, a 5 or 6-year-old kid and having a Wookiee for a friend would be a riot. It would be the best. It would be better than any dog in the world.
I know. Because if anyone picked on you, the Wookiee could rip off the arms.
Both arms, right at the sockets. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Why did he not keep Chewbacca when he went to the dark side? Go rip off their arms. I did it. Oh, man, yes. Anyway, I actually have a question for you.
Okay.
Since Plo Koon found Ahsoka, I always wondered what would have happened if she had become Master Plo's Padawan and not Anakin's. What do you think?
Well, she probably wouldn't have made it.
That's very true.
I think she would have been fine as far as her Jedi training went, but obviously, you know, psychologically, she's meant to work with Anakin a lot more than she would with Plo Koon. Although you could tell she really had a lot of admiration for him. You know, she idolized him in a way. So, you know, she wouldn't have had as maybe a sassy relationship with him as she does with Anakin. So it would have been fine, but boring, you know. And she probably would not have ended up with the improvisational skill set that probably kept her alive after episode 3.
Yes, honestly, I think that's the whole difference too. You know, her survival skills. Like Anakin teaches her how. We see it actually in season 2. When they're going against the weapons factory and her and Barriss get trapped, it's Ahsoka that saves them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barriss was like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm making a transmitter, like my master showed me. Transmitting. We're right here, master. Let's go." I mean, he taught her survival skills. Where I feel like. I feel like Plo is more of a traditional Jedi, you know, like he's the Mace Windu wet blanket.
Yeah.
he goes to the school of Wet Blanket Windu. we're gonna call him that always, Wet Blanket Windu. while Anakin, you know, he came in a little bit later. He learned how to survive when he was a slave. He had to survive, and he taught her that. He taught her survival skills. I was writing about when I was writing my review of all the different Star Wars comics, and one of the reasons why I loved Kanan so much was we get to see Kanan struggle. You know, they have that Obi-Wan Kenobi one-shot in the Star Wars comics, and it was Obi-Wan on Tatooine, and he's struggling not to be a Jedi. Well, the thing about it is that, like, he still has a lot, he's older, he has more experience. You know, like, so it's not quite as hard, but for Kanan, it's literally life and death in the comics. Like, he does not know how to survive. He went to the Jedi Temple, had a couple battles, and then Order 66 happened. He doesn't know how to make money. He doesn't know how to find food. He's literally starving on the streets.
He's loose in the universe, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
And he didn't know those skills because I think his master's Bialba, whatever her name is. His master didn't have time to teach her those skills. Anakin has taken the time to teach Ahsoka survival skills, and even then, one of the post-Clone Wars arcs, like Season 7 arcs, was Ahsoka surviving on her own and struggling. But even then, we know that she makes it. She's Fulcrum. We know she got there.
She's got a certain amount of fighting and survival training anyway, before she's even made it to Anakin, just because she's there. They wouldn't send her out there like, here, now you're going to learn to fight. I'm sure she'd had... You know, but that was the technical training. And as soon as she hooked up with Anakin, that's when she started learning how to take what she learned and then apply it to real life and know when to hold them and know when to fold them, know when to walk away and know when to run.
Because we see that when she's teamed up with Barriss in season 2. Like, Barriss is like a Plo Koon Wet Windu basement.
Yeah, Wet Windu. Wet. It's getting shorter all the time.
She's like a Wet Blanket Windu Jedi working under Luminara. She doesn't know how to, you know, improvise. She doesn't know how to survive. She's ready to fold with the mission. Like, it's my time. I die. Yay. I mean, and Ahsoka's like, no, let's survive.
A Wet Windu sounds like when someone licks their finger and sticks it in your ear. Elementary school.
Oh, God. I just imagine someone, like, licking Mace Windu.
There's a new kid. Give him a Wet Windu. That's what happens in kindergarten class in Padawan school. It's like, let's get the new guy and give him a Wet Windu.
I just imagine someone, like, licking the top of Windu's head and picking him up and, like, cramming him in, like, Jar Jar Binks's ears.
They give him Force Swirlies and stuff like that.
Force Swirlies. God, I just think it'd be so much fun to be a kid in the Jedi Temple.
Jedi bullying has got to be the worst bullying of all.
Oh, yeah, you use the Force to, like, lift a girl's dress. Oh, can you imagine puberty as a Jedi?
Oh, jeez. Well, the girls, the thing about that, though, is, you know, I'm going to assume that our universe, the females in our universe and Jedi universe are somewhat similar as to where they mature faster physically and psychologically. So by the time, you know, the young Jedi boys are like, let's make the young girl's skirts fly up, they're going to end up getting force slapped across a room, you know, by that point. So it's probably, yeah.
Oh, man. On their Hogsmeade days, all the little boys go out and, like, into Coruscant, and they're just like, look at all the ladies. And, like, things start levitating around them just because they can't control their hormone forces.
Exactly. Tables overturn and stuff, yeah. And the bullies are like, why are you force choking yourself? Why are you force choking yourself?
Yes. Oh, God, yes. It's amazing. Did you have anything else from this section?
No, I'm good.
Why are you force choking yourself? That's great. All right. The coolest space fight ever. When the droids spot them, Plo Koon is ready to put up a fight against the enemy. He can withstand the pressure of space for a bit and tells the clones to put on their helmets for temporary life support. Plo, Sinker, and Boost attack the hunter droids as they begin trying to crack open the pod. The pod begins to take damage, leaking air pressure. Together, they are able to break free from the droids. Plo asks why the clones are so sure that no one will find them. They say they're clones and made to be disposable. Plo tells them that they are not that way to him. Anakin and Ahsoka continue to look for the missing pods. The Chancellor calls them back to the fleet. As they leave, Ahsoka senses Master Plo and takes control of the ship. They speed through the wreckage to find the missing men. Plo tells them that the Separatists have an ion cannon. The Malevolence returns, and our heroes shut down all the electronics to avoid detection, except for they forget to turn off the medical droid. Turning on everything, they realize they have to get the heck out of there. Dooku and Grievous race to get the ion cannon ready. Firing the cannon, Anakin speeds to get away from the blast. At the last moment, they escape into hyperspace. So this space fight is super cool.
It's really nice, yeah.
I just the physics of it, I love it, you know. He, like, throws the clone who flips around and starts shooting.
Yes, that reminded me of, you know, like, old Marvel Comics stuff in X-Men where Colossus would chuck Wolverine somewhere. That stuff was great. I've never been a big fan of, like, military movies and stuff like that. I don't not like them, but I've never, like, watched a lot of them. But I love all the military, like, when you finally see them, like, the clones and the Jedi working together, using their powers together. I love that stuff. I love that scene where he, you know, it reminds me of the X-Men Danger Room or something like that.
Yeah. I just, that entire fight sequence was incredibly well done. It's probably one of my favorite moments of the episode. And then something I found interesting was the clones think of themselves as disposable objects, but we see that they have more worth in themselves. You know, like, why would they customize their armor and their looks if they didn't see themselves as more than just objects? And we'll see in a few episodes Slick, who sees the Jedi as, like, slavers. But I do think it's important for them to have this statement early on, because we see later, you know, like, Plo was like, you know, I respect you. I see you as people. And later on in the series, we'll see that Commander Wolf and the Wolf Pack have a huge amount of respect for Plo Koon.
Well, that's how, I mean, it reminds me in a way of old, you know, war movies where it would be the opposite of the clones, where they would have, you'd have, oh, the little guy from the small town with his girlfriend, and you would have, you know, the black guy from here, and you'd have the one guy who's the you know, wild card of the group, and everybody, you know, one guy's Italian and stuff like this. This, you have clones, they're all the same guy, but through battle and through life, they're slowly carving themselves into their own people, but through scars, through different experiences, mm-hmm. and they're becoming that classic motley crew of a completely different, you know, completely different people united in a cause, even though they're basically the same person, you know, genetically. And I love how that's, you know, I mean, but in the movies, they're fresh out of the mold, so they all look, you know, the same. They're all just CGI'd copies of the one actor, and I love how quickly they start correcting that in the Clone Wars show. And I guess you would have to, because the clones and some of the Jedi are the only characters that you can get some tension out of, because you don't know whether they're going to live or die. So the more you put a personality onto them and humanize them, the more their lives are going to matter to the viewer too. And I think a lot, maybe in these early episodes, they're saying that they're having people vocalize that so much because they want the kids who are watching it to really get that drummed into their head, because that's where a lot of the grist of the stories is going to come from. And, you know, they want to make sure the kids know you should worry about these clones.
Yeah, because, I mean, as of this episode right now, we're 2 episodes away from Rookies, which is a Jedi Light episode, and it's a episode all about the clones. It's like what that happens when they're alone with no Jedi.
Right, I mean, right.
Like, how do they survive? And it's Rex and Cody taking command and being sexy hot badasses. We're going to get married.
You're not biased. Yeah, you're not biased at all.
Not at all. But yeah, I mean, like, it's... Ugh, I love them. I love them, Chris. I love them all. I love them. If I ever meet D. Bradley Baker, I'd just be like, talk to me like Rex. I don't care if you're married. Just talk to me in Rex's voice, and then I'll die. And then I'll be like, Duoppa.
You had your chance with Boba.
Oh, my God. Oh, Boba. That did happen. It was kind of like weird looking, creepy looking back on it.
And I want to just stress to the listeners, we're not talking the original actor who played Boba Fett. We're talking about...
Should we tell the story?
Kid Boba Fett. Yeah, go ahead. We haven't told this story in a long time. I don't even know if we've told this story on an episode or if it just sort of played out with us picking on you about it.
And I thought I was imagining it, but Michael Bailey was there. Michael Bailey is someone else that's a part of our Two True Freaks networks, and he's on a bunch of shows, and he's great. And we love you. We love you, Michael. But he was there too. And my friend Kate was there and also confirmed it. But I was on a Clone Wars panel. I think it was the same year I met you guys. And like Ashley Eckstein was on it.
No, it had to have been the year afterwards.
Oh yeah, because you guys weren't there.
Because, and by the time you were telling us the story, I felt comfortable enough to be like, you should have taken one for the team, Hope.
Oh yeah.
What were you thinking?
Like Ashley Eckstein was there. I was on the panel, and I was on the panel from a fan point of view. And the actor who played young Boba Fett in the prequels, he was old enough now to still voice Boba in Clone Wars. And, oh yeah, because it had to be a few years because Boba had showed up, and Boba doesn't show up till season 2. And so, anyway, I was sitting beside him, and he kept, like, leaning on me, and he put his arm around me at one point. He was, like, holding me in his arms and, like, very flirty and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, this is great. This is funny. He's being nice. And afterwards, my friend Kate came up to me, and she was like, Boba Fett was hitting on you. And I was like, nah. She was like, he was. And Michael Bailey walks up and was like, he totally was hitting on you.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was young and cuter. So, yeah, Boba Fett hit on me. That was great. Looking back on it, it's kind of weird, but I'm pretty sure he was probably a little drunk, but it was also like 8 a.m., so I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, at least you know it didn't turn out too well for him, so you kind of dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
He's just going to end up in a Sarlacc stomach.
Yeah, but I would love to meet Ashley Eckstein again, as it's been a several years.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't even know where I'm going now. I'm thinking about Boba Fett. Oh, I do have another question for you, Chris.
Okay.
If someone, because this is following up on the question from the last episode, if someone hadn't seen the Clone Wars movie, this was their first impression of Ahsoka, do you think that she translated well without prior knowledge of the movie? Would you get everything you needed to know about the character from this episode? Or, like, what would be your first impression of her?
You would. It wouldn't be the same, though, because you're just sort of getting it all at once, you know? You're not sort of getting it in fits and bursts. It would have been, if I hadn't seen the movie at first, it would have been a little off off-putting, especially
like,
the first time
kid
I heard
following Anakin around.
Yeah, the first time I heard Sky Guy or R2-E, I would have been like, "Who the hell is this? What R2-E? What the hell?" Although I think it's in the next episode that she actually says R2-E again, but yeah, it would have I would have been. On one hand, though, I'm also a fan of being just sort of thrown into a story. So if you hadn't seen the movie, this would be in the more of the thrown in to it, where she and Anakin have already established their very early rough relationship, you know, basic relationship, and you would just have to pick up on it through the dialogue and stuff like that. So I don't know. Sometimes I kind of prefer being thrown into the universe and having to work it out rather than have them say, "Hey, you know, Anakin, here's your new Padawan, Ahsoka, Anakin, Ahsoka, you know, meet cute, back and forth, and all that." That works okay to introduce a character. So I would have been fine with it. I think we would have gotten pretty much all about her personality. Maybe not, you know, like her age or anything, or that she was new to battle. You know, you might not have known how new she was, but it would have been enough to know. Why? What do you think?
Thinking back, we see her really pretty much in her first scene. She says hello to Plo Koon, and then she goes and has a meeting with the Jedi Council with Anakin, and she talks back to them, and then gets chastised by Anakin, and then she follows him when breaking the rules, and she ends up saving the day. Wow, I think someone, if they hadn't seen the movie, might be confused, like, who is this person? Because I think the only time they say her name a few times in the show, in this episode. But I think someone would be a little confused. I mean, this is early Ahsoka. This is who she is. Like, she is still crashing and burning, which is, I love when Ahsoka crashes and burns, because she grows up so much over the course of the show. We see that she can be a little reckless and a little bit of a hothead, but she also is skilled enough to save the day. She's the one that finds Plo Koon. And so she still saves the day. I think this is a really good introduction to her. Even if you would be confused about why is this girl following Anakin around. So, I mean, I think it did well.
Yeah, I think it would have worked.
So, that's what I thought. So, what do you think about the episode as a whole?
I thought it was a good episode. It was, whereas the first episode was a little more light and comedic, this one was kind of a little more eerie and creepy around the edges.
And it had all those red tones because the red planet in the background, so there was always a constant red tone.
Liked all that. I liked the look of it. I liked the feel of it. I liked the whole... It reminds me of old, like, Robert Heinlein novels, old serial science fiction, where, you know, it starts right out with something going horribly bad and horribly wrong, and then the rest of the episode is trying to figure out how to extract people from that situation, and you know, with things getting progressively worse before they get progressively better. It's classic, and it's a tried and true and awesome formula, and it's very Star Wars, whereas it's something different than Star Wars, but it's drawing from those the old pulpy sources and distilling what's good and what made them great while still making it Star Wars.
Yeah. I give the episode an 8 out of 10. I think it's a solid episode. We see Ahsoka growing in her skills, and we also see other Jedi like Plo Koon and how they cope with their clone troopers, because we saw Yoda last week, and then now we're seeing Plo Koon. And we see also the power of the Separatists, like with Grievous and Dooku. They have this massive death weapon. So we're actually seeing some of their powers. Unlike last episode, it was Asajj fumbling around a bit. The only thing I have to wonder is that we're 2 episodes in, and we don't have our third protagonist through Obi-Wan. Because if someone hadn't seen the movie, what would they think of Obi-Wan in this? You know, like, is he a main character? And even with the movie, he was a background character to Anakin and Ahsoka. So at this point, who are the main characters of Clone Wars?
At this point, I mean, I think overall, in general, Anakin, Ahsoka, and eventually Obi-Wan, but not at first. And I figured they weren't going to have... I figured you'd have Obi-Wan show up every once in a while, maybe be in an episode or two, or be in the background. because they were going to focus on Anakin and Ahsoka and ancillary characters, you know, more of the background characters, and put some of the more foreground characters like Obi-Wan and Yoda in the background as guest stars, as you would bring them in when you're doing something a little special or a little, you know, or all that. But that's not how it worked out. You know, it turned into Obi-Wan becoming a lot more of an important, I think a lot of it had to do with the voice actor being so good and appealing that it's like, let's use this as much as possible. So I think right now it's Anakin and Ahsoka are our protagonists, and soon enough Obi-Wan will be added in there.
Because, like, I keep thinking back about how the movie is supposed to be the first three episodes. That was supposed to be the first three episodes of the series. And Obi-Wan was significant, but he was always, you know, second to Anakin and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
I think this early on, the main characters are Anakin and Ahsoka. And if those had been the first three episodes, then you could consider Obi-Wan as well. But as of right now, he's not a main character. I mean, he doesn't actually start playing a role until the third part of the Malevolence arc. Because even in the next episode, he's barely there.
He's just sort of there. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't actually come in until then. And then we get rookies, and he's not in there a lot. And then we finally get him. Like, you know, he finally comes into play. Like, and that's what, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's like 6 episodes in.
That's a good ways into a series.
Yeah.
For a major character, too.
That's halfway through. That's a quarter way through the season before Obi-Wan really starts playing the game.
Well, I think they discovered that he's one of their stronger characters in Star Wars in general and in the Clone Wars, so you might as well use him and exploit that.
Yeah.
I'm glad they
did. What did you rate the episode?
I'd give it a solid 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, somewhere in the high. It's good. It wasn't as fun as the Yoda episode for me, so which keeps it out of like 9. Getting a perfect 5 out of 7 like Yoda.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
As always, twotruefreaks.com with all our plethora of podcasts. Say that 5 times fast. And if you listen on the end of this show, we'll tell you how to buy stuff through our Amazon account and all that fun stuff. But, you know, Hope's got her Hope of All Trades podcast. And yeah, just go to 22freaks.com and go dip in your toes in some of the podcasts. You won't be disappointed. If you're here listening to this, and you're going to like what else you'll hear. Unless you don't like this.
Then why are you here?
And why are you listening?
Exactly. Why are you still here? Go away. Get
this an hour but in?
Actually, if you're still here and you don't like us, drop us some comment on iTunes so we can know how we can improve.
Since this isn't in our outro, we're on Twitter too. Is it J Guys and Jedis?
J Guys and Jedi.
J Guys and Jedi. Now I'm saying the S on the Jedis.
Yeah, that was my bad. I was like, you guys missed the conversation where I was writing Chris. I was like, what's the plural of Jedi? Is it Jedis or is it Jedi like deer? I was like, I don't know the plural of Jedi. I'll never forget the conversation I had when I was writing my play. And I was trying to describe, my senior capstone was writing a play in college. And one of the characters has a shelf full of Jesus statues, like 30 Jesus statues. And I had a conversation with my playwriting teacher about what the plural of Jesus was.
Isn't it Jesus?
I don't know. I was like, is it Jesus's or is it Jesus like deer? I don't know.
I think it's Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah. J guys and Jesus. I should be our new show, J Guys and Jesus.
The clone Jesus army? That's an army.
Boba Seuss. Oh, and you can find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. I also write for What the Fangirl, where I am recapping Clone Wars. I'm in season 3 right now. And I, as Chris says, we have a Twitter account called J Guys and Jedi. You can follow us there too. So until next time. Pew, 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 pew.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.